I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
All right, welcome to the week of July 1st through July 5th. I'm Cooper Welch, and here with me is my co-host, Jordan Davis. Today, we're going to be talking about sports and whether or not they're too dangerous for kids. We'll also question if the SEC dominance of college football is hurting the sport. And then we'll, in the second segment of the show, we'll talk about the Rangers. We'll talk about NBA free agency that's really big right now. And we'll finish off the show with the Dallas Cowboys. So first, Jordan, are sports today too dangerous? What do you think?
I don't think that sports is too dangerous. I think athletes know the risk that they're putting themselves in when they go to the sport. Because, you know, if you play football, you already know there's a risk, a big risk of injury. Mm-hmm. Because you see in football all the time that people get hurt on the very first play of the game. I mean, it's going to happen. Sports today, I feel as though, is trying to weaken because the commissioner and everything is trying to, you know, reduce the injuries and after sports and everything. But sports is not dangerous. If you know the fundamentals of the game and you treat your body right, you stretch, you make sure you take care of yourself, there's a lot of athletes that's been injury-free in a lot of sports. Right. So I don't necessarily think it's too dangerous.
Okay. Well, let me just give you some figures that we can talk about. Almost 1.5 million kids go to the ER every year just from basketball, biking, and football accidents. Now, these are accidents. They're not on purpose or anything, and they're not like – they're probably because they didn't stretch or they didn't do anything right. And then an average of 100 kids die each year playing organized sports. And half of these are from cardiac arrest when they just have like a heart seizure or something. Their heart stops. Mm-hmm. They just collapse on the field or the practice field even. But that's only one out of every 100,000 participants. Now, that's compared to 33% of all deaths among 13 to 19-year-olds occur in motor vehicle crashes. So you're much safer playing sports than you are just driving on the road.
Of course.
So let's talk about, you said sports are pretty safe right now, and these figures tend to indicate that. But how do you think sports can be safer? Do you think teaching fundamentals better, like tackling full body instead of leading with the head?
Oh, of course. What else? They're having a lot of camps now for the younger kids to know the proper way to tackle. Mm-hmm. But I think the coaches have to take more of responsibility because you see now that coaches limiting practice. You know, weather has a thing to do with it. I know some on the news I've been watching that some people died of heat stroke, you know. And, you know, it's hard now playing sports because you have all of these injuries and you have all of these other things that can go on with a player. It's hard for a coach to just really coach his team and teach them a sport because there's so many little injuries. But right. I believe, like, you know, if you have camps and show people the proper way to do things, it can limit injury, but injury is still going to happen.
Yeah, that's just a part of everyday life.
Oh, yeah.
What else do you think we could do? Do you think we could institute like screenings for heart conditions? Like if a player has a heart that's too big or has an irregular beat, he's not allowed to play even if he's perfectly healthy in every other way? Or what do you think?
I mean, as far as the health-wise go, it would be good to have something like that. But, you know, I know some people that play sports and have a regular heart and, you know, they playing just fine. I think you just have to monitor that player a little bit more because Jerome Bettis had asthma and he was playing professional football for at least 12 seasons. Yeah. So, you know, if you have the right staff of doctors, trainers, and coaches, I believe that a player can play, but he has to be limited because some coaches – want too much out of their players.
Yeah, and that's a good point to bring up Jerome Bettis because there's another Steeler, Ryan Clark, who has sickle cell anemia, and he can't go to higher elevation places.
So he can never play in Denver.
Yeah.
And it hurts me every time.
Yeah, because he went to Denver once and got really sick.
Really sick. They say it was horrible. Like, he was throwing up constantly, bleeding. It was. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, just do stuff like that. Maybe monitor players' health situations, get all their allergies and other stuff like that. What about like concussion proofing for helmets? Is that a direction we could go, or do you have to like make the helmets huge?
The way technology is set up, especially from Nike, you can put something in the helmets like little padding, so if the player does get hit, that it don't hurt as much. Mm-hmm. Because I've seen that on Sports Science where they actually have used like padding in helmets, and there's some players in the NFL that actually have those paddings, like had prior concussions. But right. They just not haven't been 100% okay. It'll keep you from having a concussion. Because you have to realize, in baseball too, like, people don't realize how hard the ball is being hit.
Yeah.
So you can have padding, but the ball could be hit so hard it could still go through the padding. So it's not 100% yet for them to say, okay, we found a solution, but they're definitely working on it.
Right. Well, what about pitching? You brought that up, and in baseball in general. Nowadays, almost everyone wears a batting helmet when they're batting or if they're running the bases, but pitchers still usually wear just a hat. Do you think there's something we could do, like put a lead lining in the hat?
You know, I was seeing on Outside the Lines 2 weeks ago where they were showing that the regular hats that pitcher has, Nike has put padding in those hats.
Okay.
Now, it don't protect the full head.
Yeah,
but it
not
protect,
the face.
Yeah, it don't protect the face, but it protects the sides where the ear are.
Mm-hmm.
And one player from the Orioles, one pitcher was talking about using it, but he hasn't used it yet.
Okay.
The only reason why they haven't came out with it because, you know, it's not fully tested.
Right.
The only way they can really test it if an athlete really wear it in a game and actually gets hit, and then they can say, okay, did our product work? So they're too scared to put it out there because if it don't work, then it makes the whole company look bad. But they're definitely working on that.
All right. Well, that's about all we got on the sports topic, and I think we agree sports aren't that dangerous, but there's a lot we could do to make them better.
Exactly.
Well, what about the SEC dominance of college football? Do you think that's hurting or helping college football?
Me, personally, I just got through watching college football live before I got here. And the SEC is like the conference everybody compares themselves to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the SEC is hurting college football because if you think about it, it's a business. So if the best players are going to this certain conference, there's nothing you can do. I mean, the SEC definitely has more to offer than other conferences because other conferences are starting to split up and trying to rejoin with other conferences to make this big old conference to compete with the SEC.
Yeah.
I think the SEC has the best coaches because even the teams that are not Alabama or LSU or Florida, there are still pretty good teams that can beat almost everybody else in the country anyway.
Right.
I just think the SEC is down home Southern football. And, I mean, it's been like that for like over 100 years, so everybody's comparing themselves to the Alabamas and stuff. It gives people a reason to, like, really fight in the seasons coming up so they can compete with those SEC schools. I think it's great.
Right. Well, what do you think the SEC can do to maintain that dominance? Is it just continue recruiting the way they have or have NFL-caliber coaches?
Honestly, in football, the only thing you can do to help your cause is just to win more games.
Okay.
The more games you win, the more championships you get, that speaks for yourself in a sport like football. So you can recruit the athletes, but if you're not winning anything, it's like, okay, they have good recruits, but they're not a good team.
Kind of like Notre Dame.
Exactly. You know, you see their team is nowhere near the same team they had last season with the quarterback being dismissed and other people leaving. So, I mean, they might be just an average football team next year. You never know.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back for the second part of the show. And like I said earlier, we'll talk about the Rangers, we'll talk NBA free agency, and we'll talk the Cowboys. This is KETR's Locker Room. We'll be right back.
For many of us, our cars are like old friends. And like old friends, it's sometimes hard to say goodbye. But when it's time to put that car out to pasture, it helps knowing that you're putting it to good use when you donate it to KETR. When you hear the wonderful programming on your station, you can smile knowing that your old car helped to make that happen. Call our toll-free number at 855-KETR-123 to schedule a convenient time to pick up your car, running or not. Just give our driver the title and we'll send you a tax receipt.
So I'm Alison Aubrey of NPR News, and I'm very lucky because I cover the topics that are of most interest in my own personal life, food and health. So if you share my passion and my interest, I hope you'll consider becoming a monthly sustainer at your public radio station. It will help us to do the job you want us to do. Thanks.
All right, folks, we're back, and first, we're talking about the Rangers. Now, everything's going pretty well for them right now. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. They're up by half a game on Oakland for the division lead, and they're trailing Boston by just one game for the AL lead. Now, they're trailing Pittsburgh, of all teams, the Pittsburgh Pirates, by 3.5 games for first overall, and then I think it's St. Louis is second, and then Boston's third, and Texas is fourth. So, pretty crazy playoff situation right now if Pittsburgh has the number one overall seed. And then another thing going on with the Rangers is their run differential is up by 10 runs since June 21st. They went from a plus 23 differential to a plus 33. So a lot of improvement overall. But offense, I mean, it's still middle of the road, and we have some bad news on Lance Berkman. He has soreness in his right knee after twisting it on a slippery staircase last Thursday. Now, this is the same knee that he hurt tragically in 2004 when he was with the Astros in a flag football game. And he missed the whole series against Cincinnati, but he's hoping to stay off the DL and maybe get back in the series. But even if he came back for the Rangers and acted as a DH, he's only hitting .198 over his last 25 games, dropping his overall average for the season from a plus .300 to a below .250 average. So do we want him back, Jordan? Do we want him to stay injured? What do you think?
You know, if you're looking at stats, then you don't want him back. This is like, okay, we're not really missing nothing.
Yeah.
If you really look at his stats, the Rangers can afford to lose Lance Berkman. But what Berkman does bring, Berkman brings veteran. You know, he has leadership. He's been in big games before.
Right.
So he can help the younger players really, like, understand their role and stuff. But other than that, I mean, unless he comes off the DL and starts, you know, going back to Berkman, I mean, then, of course, the Rangers, you know, they have other prospects that can fill the spot, younger players.
Right, of course.
You know, that's way more healthier at the time. You know, it's a long season, up and down season. They still have, like, All-Star game ain't even the game yet. They still have the stuff after the All-Star game. Lance Berkman's going to be back, but the thing is, can he produce?
Right, that's a good
main question.
Well, for the Rangers overall, the bats are still middle of the pack. They're 11th in runs. They're 8th in batting average, 16th on-base percentage, and 9th in slugging. So still not that improved. Not definitely not last year's caliber when we were top four in every category.
Nowhere near. But for the Rangers, it's good, though.
Yeah.
I mean, to be in the middle of the pack, to be in the middle of the pack with a team such as the Rangers right now that's sort of depleted, don't have all the players, middle of the pack, and you're winning games, and you're only a game behind the Red Sox and only 3.5 behind Pittsburgh, you're looking at it and it's like, well, that means their defense has been really good.
Yeah. And see, that's really surprising to me because the pitching has been pretty good but not outstanding for the Rangers either.
Yeah.
Nathan has 27 saves, which is in the top five save situations. And Yu Darvish has 151 strikeouts at the midway point of the season, which means he is on pace to be the first pitcher since, since 2003 to pitch 300 strikeouts in a season. So that'll be interesting. But the rest of the Rangers, and including Yu Darvish, ERA is 7th. They're 19th in quality starts, which means at least six innings pitched and allowing 3 or less earned runs. They're 9th in whip, which is walk and hits per inning pitched, and they are 8th in batting average. So, Jordan, how are we managing to stay at the top of the division and near the top of the AL with middle-of-the-pack stats and everything?
Lucky breaks.
Okay.
The one thing I could say about the Rangers pitching, when I have watched the Rangers play, when they start off good, usually the game ends good. But when they come out rocky, it's a long, long game.
That's true.
Rangers fans tear their freaking hair out when they see starting pitchers struggle in the first 3 innings, then come back for the next 3 pitch solid, and then the last 3 is like, wow, where do we go? And I think the main problem for the Rangers is all location. If you look at some of the pitches, the catcher be, you know, signifying one way and the pitcher pitched the other way, and next thing you know, home run. Next thing you know, triple. So I think the pitchers and the catchers have to get on a more tighter level so they can understand each other, because some catchers are looking like they don't even know their pitcher. And that's why, like, the other day, Toronto was like 8-0 over the Rangers that day. I was like, how did this happen?
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting thing to talk about, because I heard when I was listening to the radio broadcast of the last game that Yu Darvish pitched, that when Giovanni Soto is paired with him, he's like 8-2, mm-hmm. and with everyone else here in Texas,
he's
like been
average.
Yeah, 14-10.
Yeah.
So, you know, why are we not pairing him with Soto every time? If he's,
It makes more sense if I'm 8-2 with a catcher. More than likely, that catcher knows what I like to throw, where I like to throw it, and we have a chemistry.
Yeah.
But when you just switch out catchers every game, it's like, okay, I have a new catcher. He don't know what I like to throw. He don't know what to call. Yeah. So it's, that chemistry right there could be a reason why you lose a lot of games in Major League Baseball.
Right. Well, I think one other reason that the Rangers have managed to stay afloat in all this is the bullpen has been great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I said earlier, the Rangers are 19th in quality starts, but they're near the top five in bullpen sessions and doing really well in that category. And that, I think, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing for the playoffs. Like, you want a good bullpen for the playoffs, but you also want great quality starting pitching.
Exactly.
And that's not what we have right now. We have like one or two guys that we can count on for sure, and then the rest is kind of up in the air.
This is right now. We still haven't even got to the All-Star break yet.
Right.
Like, this is the All-Star break is midway, and if midway the Rangers can go into the All-Star game in this same position, they have accomplished more than they ever were supposed to in this season. Because after Josh Hamilton, after Michael Young, and after some more people left, the Rangers, they were still projected to be a decent team, but not a team at top of the AL, middle pack, lower. But they already exceeded those expectations. So, after the All-Star game, you don't know what's going to happen. Some players might get a spark, and people might get on the right foot, and they start winning at the right time. So, Ranger fans are just like Cowboy fans. They have seasons and increments. When it's bad, they still be like, well, we still have a chance. When it's ugly, they don't give up hope, but they're like, but when it's good, oh my God, you won't stop hearing about them.
That's true. That's very true. Well, let's move on to another big topic for the day, NBA free agency. Now, the biggest player in this NBA free agency has already been signed, already been grabbed by the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul is signed to a 5-year deal for $107 million. What do you think of that investment by the Clippers?
That was a smart investment. That's probably the smartest investment they made in their franchise history. They finally got a player they can put on the front of their face, a logo, and like, this is so-and-so representing the Clippers.
Right.
Because the Clippers used to be the worst franchise in all the sports. They had horrible ownership. They had horrible players.
Mm-hmm.
They just had a nice arena because they shared it with the Lakers.
Yeah, that's
but
very true.
The signing with Doc, this is probably the best coach they ever had. Chris Paul is probably the best player ever had. It's very smart to lock both of them up long term.
Yes, that's very true. I agree with you completely there. It's just a shame that they can't do much else. Like, they've got a great bench. They've got great players and Blake Griffin and all those. But Chris Paul is really their only, like, wow guy. Like, do you think they need to get another big wow guy, trade for somebody?
Honestly, they need to trade Blake Griffin.
Okay.
Blake Griffin is like a, athletic guy, but other than that, he cannot do nothing but dunk the ball.
Yes, that's very true.
If you play defense on Blake Griffin,
mm-hmm.
he cannot do no post-up moves. He can shoot a little, 20% mm-hmm. better than last year.
Yeah.
DeAndre, you're not winning the championship with DeAndre Jordan. He's mm-hmm. athletic, but he does not have nothing to offer like late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers need to try to get some other star down there to help Chris Paul, because if you watch them play, at times only Chris Paul is the one scoring the ball.
Right.
So, they need to desperately find another star. And I was looking at SportsCenter today, and there's some pretty good free agents out there that they can land.
Yeah.
Real good.
Well, the Clippers don't have that much cap room, but they could do a sign-in trade, and they're actually looking at doing that with the Mavs. This is a ways down on our discussion topics, but they're talking about doing a sign-in trade, O.J. Mayo for Eric Bledsoe. What do you think about that?
I like it.
Okay.
Eric Bledsoe is a young, good point guard.
Mm-hmm.
He backed up Chris Paul, and you see what he can do.
Yes.
And, he kind of resembles a better J.J., mm-hmm. if you think about it, because he's small like J.J., but he can get to the rim. And the Mavericks, I like this because O.J. really don't want to be in Dallas. You could tell he didn't want to be there. So, let him go. He's not really helping y'all anyway. Get somebody young that mm-hmm. can be there longer, that can help Dirk out. Because Eric Bledsoe is not only a good player, he's a great defender as well.
Yeah, I agree. They're also interested in Jose Calderon and Mo Williams.
No.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they would be interested in these two people at all. These are both old people. Jose Calderon hasn't been good since Toronto when he was with Chris Bosh. And he only had one good season where he made one All-Star game because of Chris Bosh. And Mo Williams ain't been nothing without LeBron James, period. So, no, he needs to stay in Utah, and he needs to stay in Detroit.
Yeah,
those are all the two teams. No, yes.
Yeah, I mean, as a Spurs fan, I would love it if the Mavs did that. But as a business and a basketball and just a general basketball fan, I don't want to see Mo Williams or Jose Calderon on the court, much less with the Mavericks.
But hey, you know about the Spurs, Greg Oden.
Yeah,
is
Greg
a
Oden
favorite
is
to
a favorite,
sign with
yeah.
the Spurs.
And that's one guy that I'm interested in. I don't know if I'd give him big money because all the knee injuries he's had. But I'm interested in him. And then another that I'm really interested in and I really want is Al Jefferson. I would love
He would fit perfectly with the Spurs. I would not be surprised if he signed with them.
Yeah.
Him and Tim Duncan is a good front court. Mm-hmm. And I'll be better with Al Jefferson. Actually, I have a big man that can score and put Tim at the four.
Yeah. And if Ginobili takes a lot less money, it's possible. If he doesn't take a lot less, well, it's probably not going to happen.
No,
but
after that series, I will give him the bare minimum.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the biggest free agent right now. Since
soap
Clippers.
Opera.
Yeah, the soap opera of Dwight Howard. I think they should change his Superman nickname to the soap opera.
They should.
Well, he met with the Houston Rockets on Monday, right after the free agency period started up, so 12:01 a.m. on Monday. Mm-hmm. He also met with Lakers president Stan Kupchak, face-to-face before that Rockets meeting. And then he was in the Rockets meeting for 3 hours. That meeting featured the owner of the Rockets, the general manager of the Rockets, James Harden, and pretty much everyone
Sent
else.
Everybody for
yeah,
him.
They want Dwight Howard.
And I mean, he can help them, but I just don't like the way he conducts himself.
Yeah.
Like when you tell a team, I really want to be with y'all, and then middle of the season, I don't like it here, and then at the end of the season, I'm not gonna be back. Like.
Yeah,
you're the team relying on you. You're like the most dominant big man in the league. Why are you so picky, like a female? Why are you acting like a female in the NBA?
Yeah, and the thing I don't get about Dwight Howard is that he doesn't like pick and rolls, but he's in the 99th percentile of all the pick and roll players ever in the history of the NBA. That's the thing he does best, but he doesn't like pick and rolls.
Cause Dwight's stupid.
Yeah,
he doesn't like pick and rolls. He doesn't like L.A. I mean, if I was him, I would have stayed in L.A. At least I have Kobe Bryant on my team. If he goes to the Rockets, he'll have James Harden. But the only reason why he'll come to Texas is because there's no state tax. So he'll get more bang for his buck if he come down here to Texas. There was rumors that he was going to go to Atlanta with Chris Paul, but they're poochies. He's not going there. He should stay in L.A. I don't know why he's tripping. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about who else he met with. He did meet with the Hawks on Monday, although that's probably not going to happen.
No.
And he also met with the Golden State Warriors Monday night. Now, the Warriors have almost no cap room, but they could gut their team and get him. Do you think he any chance with them?
I don't want Golden State to do that to their team.
Right.
They already have a good team. They went to the second round and gave your Spurs
six games. Yeah.
Six good games. Mm-hmm. I don't think Dwight Howard would mesh well with the Warriors.
I don't either.
They have youth at the all positions. They're coming together as a team. Mm-hmm. Dwight is all about me. You know, they already have a good player in Steph Curry. That's the face of their franchise. Dwight, he doesn't fit in Oakland. I don't see it.
And I think Golden State is way too much of a perimeter-oriented team.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's got a more of a family-like atmosphere. The coach is Mark Jackson. He's very religious and positive. And Dwight, he probably don't want to hear all of that. He probably want to go somewhere where it's like, give the ball to Dwight. End of story.
Yeah.
Break.
Right. Well, Howard also has to meet with the Mavs. He met with them this afternoon, and then he's meeting with the Lakers probably right about right now.
Probably talking to him now.
Yeah, he's meeting with Lakers ownership, Kobe, and Nash. Now, he said he doesn't like Kobe, so I'm not sure why the Lakers brought him.
Because Kobe's Kobe.
Yeah.
Like, if anybody had LeBron James on their team and they want to get somebody, they'll send LeBron James.
That's true.
So it's Kobe.
All right. Well, let's talk about who else the Mavs are going around talking to. They've talked to Greg Oden, but he doesn't consider them a favorite to land. Yeah. And they did sign a point guard from Israel named Gail Mikael, I may not be pronouncing that right, to a league minimum. So really, maybe not the best point guard to go after, but a league minimum deal's not going to hurt you at all.
At all. It's like spending $50 on a player in the league.
Yeah.
Mark Cuban, that's like $50 on Mark Cuban.
Mm-hmm. And then, just in case they need a backup for Dwight Howard falling through, they're talking to Andrew Bynum, of all people.
You know, Mark Cuban is something else.
That's true.
Andrew Bynum hasn't played in 2 seasons.
Yeah.
The last time we saw Andrew Bynum, he was pushing J.J. Barrera out the air as they got swept by the Mavericks that year.
Yeah.
Why would you go after him out of all the people? There's Josh Smith out there. Mm-hmm. There's Paul Millsap out there. There's a lot of big men out there. Why would you go after a big man that hasn't played in 2 seasons, that has horrible fashion? Well, he got a mop on top of his head.
Yeah.
I don't see where they're going with this. Like,
two years ago? And he has a history of knee problems, too.
His knee problems is worse than Greg Oden's.
Yeah.
He has a knee injury every year around the same time. For the Lakers, for 6 straight years, he got hurt, at least in the second half, every season.
Yeah.
So this is not a smart investment at all. Philadelphia is just trying to get rid of this dude because they wasted a lot of money on him. He got $30-some million from them.
Yeah.
The Mavericks just, they do not want to win. They don't want to win.
I agree with you. I agree. Another big thing that's going on right now is Elton Brand is actually in talks with the New York Knicks, so he won't be with the Mavericks anymore.
Well, that's a loss because Elton was pretty good for the Mavs.
Yeah, he averaged like 7 points, 6 rebounds.
Yeah, he was pretty good, but he was a lot of games. He was actually doing their only person doing something other than dirt.
Mm-hmm.
But Elton Brand, I mean, he's a good defender. He can rebound pretty good. But the Dallas Mavericks need to definitely get 2 things. They need to get a scorer, and they need to get a big man to help Dirk out because Dirk is getting older.
Yeah.
So they definitely need somebody to back him up.
All right, well, that's enough basketball talk. Let's end the show with what everybody really cares about here in Texas, and that's football.
Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys. So first we're going to start off the Cowboys discussion with a little lighthearted, fun stuff. Phil Costa is engaged to Hulk Hogan's daughter. He proposed to her in Las Vegas. Now, I don't know when the wedding date is, but they're engaged now. What do you think of that?
You're a football player for the Dallas Cowboys, and her father is a professional Hall of Fame wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
A very interesting household, to say the least.
For sure.
Very, very interesting. No dull moments. He played for the Cowboys, so he's constantly in people's mouth. She's Hulk Hogan's daughter, so she's constantly in people's mouth.
Yeah.
A very public relationship I see right there.
Right. Do you think this is going to bring more drama to the Cowboys? I know we already have things like with T.O., bring your popcorn way back. And
everything is.
Yeah.
Romo's a distraction to the Cowboys, and he's a quarterback. He has assists on his back that he just got off, and they talking about he don't know if he's going to be 100%.
Yeah.
And it's just assist. The Cowboys are low-key the New York Jets.
Mm.
Low-key. They just win more games than the Jets, and they have a better quarterback than the Jets. But everything else, they're the NFC version of the Jets.
I agree with you. And I think, honestly, the Jets, at this point, I think have better ownership than the Cowboys do.
That's the only thing the Jets have over a lot of teams, because they do not have a team.
Yeah.
They suck.
Well, let's talk about what else is going on with the Cowboys. More drama. Josh Brent is back in jail for another failed drug test. So you think the Cowboys will stick with him?
Nah, after this, you know, they stuck with him after the whole manslaughter incident because his mother, so-called, talked to Jerry.
Yeah.
But after this, it's like, okay, you're not going in a positive direction. You just keep getting in trouble. I think they're just going to let him go after this.
Yeah. Well, some drama that we got rid of. All contract talks with Anthony Spencer have been dropped, so we're not bringing him back. And he was a big source of drama last year, though.
But he was one of the best players.
That's true. He was a very good player.
I just, unless they know something that we don't know, and they know a player that can produce like him but less drama, because, you know, there's a lot of players like that can produce. You just don't know about them because, you know, low-key. But Anthony Spencer was definitely a household name for the Cowboys. And wherever he go, he's going to help a team out because he can do everything on the field. It's just outside the field, you know, he has a problem. But on the field, he's a very good player. I mean, I haven't known him to get hurt a lot. But, I mean, the Cowboys, oh, well.
Right.
They'll find somebody else to put in there.
Well, let's talk about rookie signings. They've now signed everyone that they drafted. Travis Frederick just signed for 4 years, $6.8 million. $5.5 million of that is guaranteed. So that's 80% of his contract, which is 30% better than anyone else the Cowboys signed.
He's winning. He, like, a contract like that, you can't be nothing but happy.
Yeah, definitely.
$5 million guaranteed. I only have $6 million guaranteed. And then ain't no telling, he might actually be a great player and sign him to another deal.
Yeah. And the only other rookie for the Cowboys that's making over $1 million a year is the tight end they drafted, which is Gavin Escobar. He was the second pick they made, so that's why he's making about that much money.
Yeah, but even if you're not making $1 million, you're making more money than the average man.
Yeah, yeah. Terrence Williams, the third pick, is making like $780,000 a year.
See, so. $700,000 a year. Most people don't even see $100,000 in a year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even with that contract, he's not complaining.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's talk about the last thing for the Cowboys. There's a new nickname talked about for Dez Bryant, Optimus Bryant. Now, this is to compete with Calvin Megatron Johnson. What do you think of the nickname?
Megatron is Megatron for a reason.
Okay.
I'm so to the point where I'm tired of Cowboy fans trying to compare Dez Bryant to every other receiver. Calvin Johnson is 6'5". Mm-hmm. 240 pounds. He's big. That's why he gets the name Megatron. And plus, on the field, nobody can guard him. That's why he leads the league in receptions, touchdowns, yards per catch, because he's Megatron. He's big.
Right.
Dez Bryant cannot call himself anything until he actually go a whole season without staying in trouble.
Yeah.
If he Calvin Johnson has never been in the media for anything bad. If Dez Bryant can clean his act up, then he can get some nicknames. But until he just start producing the whole season and not just half a season, Optimus Bryant, no, that should be Dez Bryant, his government name. That's it.
Right. All right. Well, that's about going to do it for us today. Got a lot of stuff to talk about on Friday. Hopefully we'll have a guest in. Maybe get to talk to the new Paris Junior College women's basketball coach or someone else. We're really working on getting a lot of local stuff started, so hopefully we'll see that on Friday. If not, we'll be talking, hopefully, to our fantasy football draft expert, Robert Reed. We're going to bring him in.
It's going to be a heated episode.
Yeah. So we'll get you guys prepared for all the fantasy football stuff that's going to start up pretty soon. So be sure to stay tuned to KTR's Locker Room. We'll be back on Friday, July 5th. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Jordan Davis.
We'll see you on Friday, folks. We'll be right back.